From Hollywood to the NBA, it seems as though dressing masculine-looking men into women's outfits is all the rage. Is this something that is just funny, according to Hollywood, or is there a more sinister plot at hand? And what is the state of the Christian music scene, and is it a reflection, a representation almost, of a lot of the American Christian culture and how it is viewed abroad? Stay with us as we look at these and other stories on the 5:11 News.
Now, there are two kinds of people in the world, only two kinds, not black and white, not rich and poor. There are those who are dead in sin, and there are those who are dead to sin.
After three nights of unbridled lawlessness across London, the contagion is spreading.
The problem is that God has already judged this. He has judged murder already. I don't need to question it. I don't need to ask and wonder what his plan is.
We're commanded as Christians not to participate in the works of darkness, but expose them.
Welcome back to the 5:11 News. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And on today's episode, we want to talk about a couple of different stories, one that is in the church and how it affects the church and really the world abroad, and also what's going on in the Christian music scene. Some of the lyrics, we're actually going to go through them. And I know we've dealt with maybe even some of the private life or some of the more sinister things coming out of the CCM machine. But in this one, what we want to talk about is specifically the content of the lyrics that are going out and that people are meditating on. But before we do, let's talk a little bit about, I guess, not only the milieu in Hollywood, but also most recently, something that took place when it came to Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook, for you guys who don't know, played his college basketball years at UCLA here, and he's gone on to the NBA. He's been an absolute star, not only an all-star, but on multiple years averaging what's called a triple-double. That means double digits for points, rebounds, and assists. There's other categories you can do it in, but he did it in those three. And he has been a spark plug, known as kind of a tough guy in the NBA, a really strong player that a lot of people look up to in a lot of different ways. And he's also a husband. He's also a father. And he's also very fashionable. Now, that's, I guess that's how the world calls it. I say you look pretty ridiculous half the time with the stuff you wear. But the latest one is one that is not just silly in terms of what is being worn as his attire, but what the Bible actually describes as abominable. Yes, that is right. For men to dress in women's clothing is an abomination before the Lord. That's what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 5. It's not cute. It's not funny. It's not something where it's like, oh, wow, look at how awesome he is for doing this and dressing in a skirt and high heels or whatever he's trying to wear there. And it's something that is, this is something that's par for the course for whether it's Hollywood, whether it is right here in sports. The effemination, the making men effeminate, making them like women in as many ways as possible, is seemingly been a sinister plot from Satan for a very, very long time. And this is what is going on. This is what Hollywood has done over and over again. And in fact, I want to play a clip because it's one thing for me to tell you, hey, you know what? Hollywood's really always trying to push guys to wear women's clothing. And it's because Hollywood is from the devil and they push the nonsense from Satan and they're such good job. They do such a good job of being of the prince of the power of the air, working through the sons of disobedience. They are the sons of disobedience and God's working through them to effeminate men, to have men look like women, dress like women, be like women, even though they're muscular, masculine men who are supposedly heterosexual. But let's hear from none other than Dave Chappelle, who actually talked about this phenomena not only on other people, but when he himself was asked to dress up like a woman.
I mean, I'm a conspiracy theorist to a degree. Like, when I connect dots that maybe shouldn't be connected, I don't know. But certain dots, like when I see that they put every black man in the movies in a dress at some point in their career, I'll be connecting them down, like, why all these brothers gotta wear a dress? This happened to me. I'm doing a movie with Martin.
Yeah.
The movie's going good. So I walk in a trailer. I'm like, man, this must be the wrong trailer because there's a dress in here. They come in. It's the writer comes in. I think he's the writer. He's like, Dave, listen, we got this hilarious scene where Martin's sneaking out of jail. So he disguises you as a prostitute. And you put this dress on. And it, huh? What? The prostitute? Nah, I'm not doing that. I don't feel comfortable with that. That should have been in the discussion. What? You don't feel comfortable with it? I mean, it's a hilarious bit. All the greats have done it. So, well, if all the greats have done it, it's kind of hacky, right? You're right. So why don't we just not do it? Because I don't feel comfortable wearing a dress. Oh, come on, Dave. Listen, we got it all set up. We're supposed to shoot. Every minute you waste costs this much money. You know, the pressure comes in. Huh. He said, I'm not wearing no dress, man. I'm funnier than a dress. Just give me something funny to say. I don't need to wear no dress to be funny. What am I, Milton Berle? Bah, 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 bah. You know, we're going like this. And then finally, he's like, and he leaves. And then, like, the director comes, Dave, it really would be great if you wear the dress. What is wrong? What is this, Brokeback Mountain in here? wear the dress. I don't want to wear the dress. I want to wear this dress. You know what I mean? This is, this guy's so difficult. They leave. Now the producers comes. Come on, David, would be so great. I mean, and then I started thinking about it. All the comics that I've seen, Bill Strong, brothers, why are they putting us in these dresses? But the minute it was clear, I was adamant, I'm not wearing a dress. I'm not wearing the dress. All right, fine. Think of something else. Guy comes back 10 minutes later, the whole new scene. Hot damn, how did you write the scene so fast? You know, it's like, so you got to take a stand.
No, you do have to take a stand. And I think that's a big deal to take a stand and not just acquiesce to all the nonsense. And that's what's going on. And it's interesting because we already had to bleep something out from Dave Chappelle. If you guys know anything about him, he is pretty profane as well. But I had watched a video regarding Russell Westbrook, and it was from another ex-NBA player. And it was very interesting because he was a former Laker as well. In fact, I don't want to reference it because there are really so many cuss words in the short clip that I could barely get through it. But the fact was, is that player was talking about how you're surrounded by these people and they want you to take a bite of the apple. That's what he called it multiple times. They always want you to take the bite of the apple. And he says they're always trying to turn these masculine men and get them to wear dresses and skirts and so forth. They're like, he's a heterosexual man. What is he doing in a skirt? And he's like, hey, you know what? Russell's been worn before. I don't know what he was referencing there. But the fact is this seems par for the course. And whether you think Hollywood is sinister in it, like I do, or you think that Satan is sinister in it, like I do, the fact is there is a spirit behind this to make men non-masculine, to make men no longer men. And that is exactly what's going on. And it's been going on. I know he talked a lot about black comedians and black culture. And a lot of times you look at so many of the black celebrities, guys like Jamie Foxx, he dressed up as a woman, guys like Wesley Snipes as well, dressing up like a woman, Martin Lawrence dressing up like a woman, Eddie Murphy dressing up like a woman. But it's not only in black culture where it seems like they want to get these guys dressing this way, but also in culture, in Hollywood culture as a whole. Think of one of, I guess, when you talk about a good looking man, right? When you're comparing two people, a lot of time, well, he's no Brad Pitt, right? Well, Brad Pitt himself in 1999 went on the front cover of Rolling Stone. And guess what he did? Dressed up in multiple different dresses. You have this muscular man who's supposed to be a man's man, right? Get any girl he wants and all this stuff has got, not how God tells you what a real man is, but what the world even tells you what a real man is. But here he is dressing like a woman. But what about before Brad Pitt, who was one of the biggest stars, Roadhouse, right? He was, you know, this was the guy. This was Patrick Swayze. And who do they get dressed up in drag? None other than Patrick Swayze. What about comedians? Robin Williams, dress him up in drag as well. What about modern day? What about your Doctor Strange, Benedict Cumberbatch, dressing up like a woman? What about Jared Leto, dressing up like a woman? What about a young man like Will Smith's son, Jaden Smith, dressing up like a woman? And they want you to think that this is normative, that this is normal behavior for people to dress up like women, or for men to dress up like women. Specifically, when I point to a lot of these guys, these are action stars, right? Wesley Snipes is an action star. Brad Pitt is an action star, right? Jamie Foxx himself, right? This was Willie Beeman in football films, playing the quarterback and then dressing like a girl. I mean, this is the kind of stuff just perpetuated over and over and over again. And it reminds me, and I use this quote a lot, but it's something that Madonna said regarding her, and when she was talking about on the what's called the magazine The Advocate, which is a pro-gay magazine. And she basically explained quite clearly that if she keeps doing these homosexual behaviors enough in front of people, that people may become, you know, subconsciously aroused. But the whole point of doing that is to get them to a place where they eventually accept it. And that's exactly what Hollywood, that's what now they're using these sports stars and so forth. They're trying to get you to accept something outside of God's order. And ultimately, that's exactly what makes it wrong. Because once God has set and explained through special revelation, not only the fact that it's unnatural, we all know that, but the fact through special revelation that he has spoken, and when he has spoken, it is with finality unless he says otherwise. And the fact is your creative order has been set, right? The way that God created us, it has been set in stone. And if you don't like the Old Testament talking about this, well, let's go to the New, where Jesus quotes the Old Testament in Matthew chapter 19, when he said he made them male and female. This is unnatural to do this. And sadly, the culture wants you to believe that this is perfectly normative, that this is supposed to be how it is, that men can wear dresses and so forth. But the fact is you and I both know that your conscience bears witness against you. And when you see something sick like this, you look at it, you see it, and you recognize it's unnatural. You recognize it's wrong. And yes, you can suppress the truth and unrighteousness. Yes, you can sear your conscience as with a hot iron. And sadly, so many of our children are being indoctrinated at a young age. And now, think about it. You have guys like Lil Nas X dressing up, acting like he's pregnant, dressing up like he's a woman, and people dancing around to TikTok videos, not even realizing that they're playing a song that is specifically in the music video that was just voted the number one music video of this year by the Video Music Awards for MTV. It literally is a song of that he, in the video, goes down a stripper pole all the way to hell and then sleeps with Satan and gives Satan a lap dance. And this is the song that so many, even unbeknownst to some Christians, their children are dancing around to. Not only at dances, but they're making their own videos, posting them online for other people to see them dance to this wicked stuff. And this is what is going on. This is what they're being bombarded with. This is what we are being bombarded with over and over again in our culture. And it's not just an accident. It's not just to be funny. And I think that Dave Chappelle had something right there when he said he was connecting those dots. Because whether or not you believe it's Hollywood or whether or not you believe it's Satan, I'm going to go with the latter, that Satan works through Hollywood, the sons of disobedience. And guess what? He is inundating you with this nonsense. And he's putting this forth through masculine men. We expect it from those. who are effeminate. We expect it from those who've been given over to the depravity of their mind to do things which are unnatural. That's expected. So what does Satan do? He grabs the masculine men. He grabs the tough guys in basketball, right? They don't put up with anything and puts them in a skirt. It's embarrassing. It's sad. It's disgusting. And it's against the natural order that God has made. And I want to bring this out. I don't want to get past this in this episode because I know we're talking a lot about what's going on outside of the church. But the reality is that men are being made effeminate outside the church. And sadly, people are embracing that inside of the church culture. And so often you see guys that aren't being the men they are supposed to be, that are wearing clothes that look similar to women's clothes. And this is not an accident, right? This is because we are in a culture that we are supposed to stand juxtaposed to, that we are in a culture that we should look at and say, I want none of that. I don't want to look like the world whatsoever. And I'm going to dress like a man because God has made me this way. And for a woman, you are supposed to dress like a woman. This is really, really important that we recognize this and we don't fall into the temptations of Satan so that we are affected by the culture in this regard. And speaking of church culture, one thing I have thought about a lot, and I've thought about doing an entire video just on this, and it has to do, and we've covered this in one of our first episodes ever for the Good Fight Radio Show, but I wanted to go over, and you know what? I have really read through a lot of different lyrics, but I wanted to go over some of the biggest bands and then some more recent songs I've heard while turning on the Christian radio station on my way driving around and so forth. And I wanted to look at some of the lyrics, and it really is, I believe, a reflection of so much of the American Christian culture. And you'll see it's not just American bands that I'm going to be quoting from. These are also bands from outside of American Christianity, but they also are affected by the Christian church in America and its effects and their theological problems leaning towards and pushing towards a lifestyle problem as well. And I believe a misunderstanding of the new covenant. And so I want to look at a few of the biggest songs out there. I mean, one of these songs I'll read from has over 80 million views online. And that's for a Christian song. And you might hear it when you're walking into places. But before I even read these lyrics, I heard this clip from one of my favorite scholars, and that's Dr. John Oswald. And he describes a lot of the Christian music that he hears. And I gotta be honest with you, if you've been listening to 511 News, you might think that I listened to this before I ever talk about Christian music or the American Christian scene, because it sounds like a lot of the language that I use. But in fact, I had just found this clip right before I wanted to do this episode, and it really does reflect. It really does reflect my own views when it comes to a lot of the Christian music we hear today.
One of the things that concerns me as I, from my exalted age, look at younger people today is, as I listen to Christian music, I hear people saying over and over again, I'm a mess, I'm a wreck, I'm broken, life is horrible, but God loves me, and somehow or other I'm going to make it. And we've lost the optimism, as I said in the lecture, of or maybe in the question and answer session, of 100 years ago. We don't really believe that the Holy Spirit can transform us ethically to the point where we can live victoriously. Not sinlessly, no, but victoriously. And I long to see that happening in the younger generation, that, hey, God is at work in my life. He's changing me. He's making me into His image. Wow. When that happens, that's exciting.
That is exciting. And that's one of the most exciting things about the Christian walk. When we talk about sanctification, it's such a beautiful thing. Sanctification is that predestination that Christ, that when He died for us and when He called us to Himself, that we are predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. And when I see Jesus, Jesus isn't somebody like, I'm just this terrible, horrible guy. And, you know, thank God I was saved. Obviously, he's perfect. But the reality is, I don't see that in Paul either. Paul, I guess you would say, had the guts to say, follow me as I follow Christ, right? How could you as a believer say that, right? And Paul even tells people, we see in the scriptures, to follow their leaders because you're supposed to be an example as somebody who has been progressively sanctified, not perfect, as Dr. Oswalt pointed out. But the fact is that we seek after that perfection. We seek to be like Jesus. Those aren't just words. This is us saying, God, I want to meditate on your word day and night. So I'm like the tree planted against the water. God, I want to be in prayer like Jesus was when he was on earth, where he would go out and be alone with the Father and pray to the Father. I want that in my walk. And we beg for that kind of Christian walk, not the one that lives in defeat. And I want to read some lyrics because I really do believe we're going to talk about a portion of scripture that should be the reflection of our life. And I believe when we look at this trifold understanding of this area of scripture I want to talk with you with, I think that these lyrics get caught in the middle of the three chapters and they never get out of it, when those three chapters are meant to point us to the victory. This is Lauren Daigle, and we could go on and on about Lauren Daigle and not knowing if homosexuality is a sin and so forth, and not really, you know, seemingly being too busy about true Jesus work, but a lot of people have been encouraged by her music. So I'm just going to read from her song, You Say. I keep fighting voices in my head that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I'll never measure up. Am I more than just the sum of every high and every low? Remind me once again just who I am, because I need to know. You say I am loved when I can't feel a thing. You say I am strong when I think I am weak. You say I am held when I am falling short. When I don't belong, you say I am yours. And I believe what you say I believe. This is not the song of victory. And guys, I really want to point this out. We can look at some of the Psalms, right? We could look at some of the things said in Isaiah. We could look at some of the things said in Ezekiel over and over again and show defeats, right? Where there was time of defeat, time of Babylonian captivity, some terrible things going on. And we still have to remember we get to live under the new covenant. Isn't that awesome? That under the new covenant, that the battle has been won at the cross, that when you go out and fight, you fight a one battle. Where is the cry of victory? There is nothing wrong with crying out to God and asking him for help, but I'm coming here to worship. I'm coming here to say, God, please grow me, and that's fine. But this seems to me like a very clear indication that it is a life of defeat. And I'll just say, you know, I believe you even though I am falling short. I'll believe you even though I am weak. I'll believe you even though I'm not yours, or whatever she's trying to say. The voices in her head, it's one thing to put on, right? Put on the shield of faith and the breastplate of righteousness, walking upright with the Lord. But I loved what Dr. Oswalt said, having an optimism that the Holy Spirit can transform us ethically, that we can come to a place with more trust, that that progressive sanctification actually has growth. And those times where you slip and fall, get back up and get riding again. Don't sit and then sing about the mire. Get out of the mire and run back forward towards Jesus. That's what we want. I want to read a couple more, and I'm really short on time, and I have to get to that trifold explanation I was talking about. This is for King and Country. Wide awake while the world is sound asleep, and too afraid of what might show up while you're dreaming. Nobody, nobody, nobody sees you. Nobody, nobody, nobody will believe in you. Every day you try to pick up all the pieces, all the memories. They somehow never leave you. Nobody, nobody, nobody sees you. Nobody, nobody, nobody would believe you. God only knows what you've been through. God only knows what they say about you. God only knows how it's killing you. But there's a kind of love that God only knows, right? And this kind of mantra. And this idea, once again, all the pieces, this brokenness, this terribleness, not recognizing that the pieces are mended, that we can have salvation in Jesus. And it doesn't matter what the world says. The Bible actually talks about they will malign you. All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And when somebody maligns you, make sure it's for the wrong things, that they have no thing to bring out against you in terms of a true accusation of moral discreditedness. We don't want that. We want victory. Matthew West, his song, Truth Be Told, line number one, you're supposed to have it all together. And when they ask you how you're doing, just smile and tell them never better. Line number two, everybody's life is perfect except yours. So keep your messes and your wounds and your secrets safe with you behind closed doors. Truth be told, the truth is rarely told. Now, is that true? I mean, is truth rarely told? I mean, if this was the Christian walk, I don't find it in scripture that everyone lies and everyone says they're doing great when they're not. The fact is that James prescribes to us that when we need healing and when we need a brother, we confess our sins, right? So that the effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much, accomplishes much. That's what we want. We want these songs of victory. He said, there's a sign on the door that says, come as you are, but I doubt it. Guys, I don't know about these signs on the door, but the fact is when a sinner comes in, we want them to hear the gospel, right? But we want them to leave changed by the Holy Spirit and begin that process of sanctification. Jesus culture, it starts the song, nothing can separate even if I run away. What, could you imagine Paul writing that? No, he would stomp on that and throw it in the trash. That's horrible. And this is what I want to bring up. I'll do it as fast as I can. Tony's giving me the 1 minute, which I may go over, but that's okay. The fact is that Romans 6, 7, and 8 tell us a problem, tells us what happened when you accomplish it through your own means, and then gives us the victory. The problem is sin in Romans 6. Quite clearly, the problem is sin. Romans 7 is the problem of trying to do it in your own strength apart from Jesus. And Romans 8 is putting aside the deeds of the flesh so that you may live. Because if you live by the deeds of the flesh, you will die. And then ultimately, guess what? We get these powerful, powerful statements, one of which that calls you more than a conqueror. Not one of those lyrics, not a single one of them, do I feel like more than a conqueror through him who loves us. Not one of those lyrics, not one of these songs am I worshiping, meditating on, and feel like more than a conqueror through him who loves us. You know who I feel like? Romans chapter 7, Paul before conversion, when he had no victory whatsoever, before he said, what? How to save this wretched man that I am? Praise be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's the victory. And then we get the marching orders in chapter 8. It tells us now, guess what happens when you pray? The Spirit gives unction. The Spirit prays through you to tell you what to pray. So Romans 6, 7, and 8, I encourage you guys, just throw out the chapter breaks. Throw out the verses. Go read Romans 6, 7, and 8. What you see is prescribed the virus in sin. What you see is prescribed the wrong medicine, and then you get the right medicine. And it's Jesus and his strength, because he said in John 15, very clearly, apart from me, you can do nothing. You can do nothing apart from Jesus. We live in his Spirit. We laid aside the deeds of the flesh, put on that breastplate of righteousness, put on that helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, gird up the belt of truth, and put on that shield of faith. And make sure you're not listening to this junk. This has been Chad Davidson, and this is the 511 News.
The 511 News with Chad Davidson has been brought to you by Good Fight Ministries, bringing you news and commentary from a Christian perspective. This show can be heard every Friday wherever podcast shows are available, or visit 511news.org. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to being with you next week on the 511 News.